What an incredible first inning to start the NLDS. And then game two is tonight. We have with us Brewers Extra Inning postgame show host, Bob Brainerd. Bob, thank you for joining us. Hey, Aaron Ashby is going to start, we heard. And yeah. Murph said that his confidence has grown in the past few years and is a diligent worker. How do you think he's going to do tonight?
This was really an interesting choice because is it risky? Yeah, a little bit risky because it's kind of out of the norm. It's not the old school Pat Murphy way of managing that a lot of people think he is. It's a little bit more analytical by the numbers because Ashby's numbers have been really good. He's got an ERA just over 2. He's been really solid when he's been coming out of the pen. It's different when you're starting a game. He doesn't expect to go in there and start this game, finish this game, throw a complete game by any means, but it is a little different animal. So can Ashby make that adjustment in his mind of not coming in and just clogging innings in the middle of a game? Instead, he's going to be starting it. So either Pat Murphy looks like it's a questionable, tough decision that he made, or he's a genius because it all works out in the end.
Well, you're only a genius when you are successful at the decision you made, and you're the
right,
dumbest
Nelly.
Person walking the earth when you decide against it. But it's an unorthodox decision, but I think that the numbers and the research and the data will probably back up this decision. And we have seen this over recent years, Bob, of people, but managers going with a bullpen by committee in playoff games. So you got to think that Pat Murphy and the staff already has their outline of how they would want things to go. And even best case scenario, you would see Ashby out there maybe 3 innings, you think? I mean, because he's not accustomed to throwing a lot of innings. So you would think that maybe go an inning or 2, maybe possibly 3 if things are going very well and it's just a low pitch count. Or what do you see this kind of playing out as?
Well, Telly, I think it's unorthodox, and it caught a lot of Brewer fans off guard only because they had the 5 days rest, and so they were able to reset their entire rotation. And so once we knew that Jose Quintana was healthy and was going to be available for this series, you went, oh, okay, so there's no Woodruff in the equation, but you're going to go Freddie in Game 1, and then you're going to go Quinn Priester in Game 2, who has been awfully good, and the team flat out wins when he's on the mound, especially at home. So I think a lot of people thought it's going to be Priester. What are we going to do? Who's getting the ball in Game 3? If Quintana's healthy, okay. But I was thinking maybe if anything, if you're going to do this quote-unquote bullpen and having the quote-unquote starter like Ashby, then that would have been a Game 3 decision instead of Game 2. So I think it's the only fly in the ointment here that has Brewer fans a little nervous about this, because I think everybody thought Priester Game 2, and then if you have to piecemeal it for Game 3, go ahead, Murph, do what you have to do.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think, too, that if we look at the numbers probably a little deeper, there may be something as to that Game 3 starter. Maybe Priester is a little better on the road and maybe not wanting to start off with a bullpen guy to start Game 3. But that's neither here nor there, because it'll all, like I said before, it'll be a great decision if they win, and it'll be a not so good decision if they don't. But I think Brewers fans have another thing to be really nervous about, and that's Jackson Churio, Bob, because we know how tricky hamstring injuries can be, and it's not like you can just walk in and be like, I mean, if you're walking fine, you're all good, because there's bursts of speeds that you need as a baseball player on the base pads, maybe out in the field, that your hamstring is really, you know, put a lot of emphasis on that. So best case scenario, Jackson is off tonight and he'll be back for Game 3. But realistically, what do you think, Bob?
Realistically, Telly, I'm going to agree with you. I don't think we'll see him, and we'll get the lineup maybe in a couple hours or so, but I don't think they're going to take that chance. And it is a risky chance if you run him out there and he's not 100%, which he would not be. But as you said, you're hustling down the first base. He's in left field. He's going after balls, and if something's going to drop, is he going to extend, or is he going to pull up and then maybe it's costing you runs in the field? I don't think we're going to see Jackson in this game. I agree. And I think as you said, best case scenario, you hold him out here, then you get the day off to go to Wrigley Field. So that's another day that he gets the rest. And so now you reevaluate him in Chicago for game three. It's a huge loss if you don't have him for any games, no doubt. But the long-term effects that if you run him out there and something happens at the plate or in the field and it costs you that game, or even worse, it costs this young man going forward, because, yeah, you don't want him to have a long-term thing that, yeah, hamstrings, they can linger all the way into the offseason. So you don't want to jeopardize that for Jackson Chourio either.
Oh, my. And then with the Cubs, can they use this day off to their advantage? Because it was grueling, so stressful, the wild card series with the Padres. They were really left without a logistical starter for game one. It pushed them into starting Matthew Boyd on a short rest. So do you think that this extra day is kind of an advantage to the Cubs especially?
Julie, I don't know if it's an advantage, because if anything, I think the day off actually helped them to kind of reset their minds, because we all saw what happened. I mean, they were just bombarded. They were ambushed in the first inning, again in the second inning. You get rid of the starting pitcher, can't get three outs in his start. So I think so much happened in that game for Chicago that they just needed to exhale, take a deep breath. If you're the Brewers, you didn't want Sunday off, right? You didn't need that off to go and watch football and reset it. You are in a great place. You had the 5 days off, and you came out of the gates, and you were aggressive from the get-go. So you want to keep riding that wave of momentum. So they didn't get to do that. So if anything, I think it just helps them mentally say, okay, take a deep breath. It's only one game. If we get this game, we're going back to Chicago. Series is tied at a game apiece. And by the way, I did a little homework, and I found out that when a series is tied, if the visiting team, in this case the Cubbies, if they are able to tie this, it's something like 68% of the time they go on to win a best-of-five series. So you want to talk about momentum? Yeah, they can shake off everything bad that happened to them in game one by getting a win in game two and knowing they're going south back to Wrigley Field for games three and four.
Bob, I couldn't agree with you more with that, because I know a lot of people have asked me, you know, how do I feel about them and what do I think about game two? And I think this is the most important game, because you go to Chicago and you're down 0-2. You have a Cubs team that's going to be playing desperate. And a lot of times when you're playing desperate, you can get a little out of character. But I'm also going to ask you a question that I have been getting, and I know you have been getting a lot of, especially that everyone knows that you're affiliated with the Brewers. Bob, what is the difference with this year's team?
The difference, Kelly, I've been trying to put my finger on it, and sometimes I want to say that it's luck, but I've seen Brewer teams in the past where it's like, man, that just everything goes their way, right? This year, I wouldn't say, for the exceptional here and there with, you know, the ball bounces, it's a weird bounce, and then you win the game. They've had those. Everybody has those, but it hasn't been in bunches. The Brewers, for the most part, have earned these victories. And I've always said, you know, once we got into September, it's like, okay, how are they doing this? How is this possible to have the best record in baseball? It's, to me, it's the sum of the parts, right? It's not having the big bopper like a Juan Soto on the Mets, Aaron Judge on the Yankees, Guerrero on the Blue Jays, on and on, right? A lot of the teams in the playoffs, the Dodgers are loaded with Ohtani and Freeman. A lot of the teams that are in the postseason, they have that dude. They have that stud or two or three or four. And the Brewers, it's, again, some of the parts. It's just guys that are all scrappy, but they all are solid baseball players who do their job, and they all understand we don't have that stud guy who's going to bail us out when things are going bad. But if we all do our part and do a little bit better together, it's an unstoppable force. To me, that's it, plain and simple. Luck, sometimes, but not a lot. It's just them banding together as one.
He is Brewers Extra Innings postgame show host, Bob Brainerd. Bob, have a great night. It's going to be fantastic.
It is, and we've got warm-up, too, 7 o'clock to 7:30, warming up. I'm going to be at the ballpark, God willing, if I get through the traffic here, but get you all set.
Good, before and after, double Bob show.
Before, the before and after. So the before is great because all the fans coming into the park, they yell at us from the camper. So it's awesome. I can't wait.
Fantastic. All right. Have fun.